Hello and welcome to this week's Comic Roast. I'm your host, Scott, and you can find me on Twitter at XOrsonX. I'm in here with Brian. You can find on Twitter at Pure Rock Fury. You can find all of our other podcasts at ComicRoast.com, and you can find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/TheComicRoast, or just Comic Roast.
Review and roast, basically.
Well, that too, but I mean, both pages still
exist. I haven't updated the Comic Roast Facebook page in probably a year.
So there you have it. You can find all of our stuff at Facebook.com. Unless it's
being done through Twitter. I don't know.
I don't think it works that way.
No, you can connect one to the other.
I know, but I don't think it ever has been done. But anywho, Facebook.com/reviewandroast. And also, we are on the Patreon. So if you want to support us there, you can find us at Patreon.com/reviewandroast. And today, we have our number one for the week is Retcon. I thought I saw somewhere that's on Image. Oh, it is on Image. On Image Comics by Matt Nixon, Toby Cypress, and Matt Krotzer.
Sure.
So, apologize on the pronunciation there, but is what it is. And our over-under is going to be being a werewolf or a werebear or a were-animal of whatever sorts. It's going to be a weird, interesting one, I hope. So let's dive right in. Transmitter circles the globe in search of a listener. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? So I'm assuming everyone's noticed that we've been gone for the last, 2 months or so. Not going to go into total detail here. I totally just said totes. That was bad of me, but whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go into full detail, but, you know, you figure Chris and his wife had a new addition to their family. Damien had to pick up and move his, you know, family, and, you know, that was a annoyance. And then Brian also moved twice in the last couple of months, so.
And Mike moved.
Which, you know, had me over there helping him, because, of course, before he moved in, he wanted to remodel the entire house, so.
And also, Damien's currently on tour, so he's out for at least a week or two.
Yeah, he's on tour. He's got a bunch of, you know, he's back to teaching again, so it's his schedule is just very hectic, and with Chris having the newborn, it's pretty hectic for him as well. So we're picking up the torch and moving on as of now. Other than that, I, in the last 2 months, with all the movings and remodelings and pure just being tired from doing all that crap, I've been slacking big time on the reading of the comics. But I have definitely picked that back up in the last week, and I blew through it about a good 10 or 15 books. And I still have to say, I don't know if anyone out there is reading it but me, but Bombshells is still amazing. So people need to get in on the goods while they can.
Yeah, actually, probably since the beginning of summer, I've been essentially going to clean out my box, pick up the new issue of Black Hammer, if there is one, and that's it. I haven't bought a new issue of a thing in probably since May or June. So finally, when I went this week, I was like, all right, we're going to start the thing back up now. We're going to get back to business, and I'm going to select a number one so we can get this thing moving again. And I'm looking at stuff. I'm like, whoa, when did that come out? I'm like, what the hell is that? I felt like I walked into the comic book store for the first... I mean, I've been there every weekend for various other things, but I walked in going like, man, I haven't looked at comics in, it feels like, forever, because I felt completely lost and mildly overwhelmed, like, Jesus Christ, I missed out on everything.
You know, I feel the same way, but, like, even before all this craziness started going, I backed off a little bit, and even now that we're back into the swing, I'm still going to be backing off a little bit, because a lot of times Mike would just go during the week, and he would just grab my box for me, because he's there, and it saves me a trip, and whatever. But, like, when I was there the other day looking around, like you said, like, what the hell is going on? Like, what's all this new stuff? But, you know, I'm kind of glad, because that's a lot of stuff that I would be interested in that would be in my box and cost me more money. So let me just stick with what I've got for now until, I don't know, until I have more money to blow on books, I guess.
Yeah, that, and when I unloaded all my stuff in the new place and I looked at all the books that I have that I haven't even read yet, I'm like, oh, my God, dude. I literally read nothing all summer long. I have a book I started back in like April that I'm still like a third of the way through. I bought a Dungeons and Dragons novel back in July that I'm still barely 100 pages into. I got a book for my birthday that I started maybe 2 months ago that I'm still only have maybe almost halfway through now. And I just feel like I haven't had, and I'm actually been working so many stupid late nights that like I get home and I'm like, I don't feel like doing shit. So I end up watching my new favorite thing on YouTube, which is, I don't know if you're aware of the website Collider.
I mean, I've heard of it.
It's like a movie. It's like Screen Rant or any other movie website, but they're all like dorks. So I'm like, oh, these guys are cool. So this guy, John Schnepp, I forget his name. He hosts, Collider's doing their own original programming now. So they have this cool show that I'm really into called Comic Book Shopping, where he picks a random celebrity, takes him to the comic book store, and talks about whatever they're working on, but then he buys him a bunch of comic books. So he took the Sarah Chalk from Scrubs 1 week, and then he took Chris Parnell 1 week, and then Frank Miller, and then Michael Rooker went, and then the guy who did the score for Rogue One was there, and then another guy that was on Party Down, and who else? He took the guitar player from Linkin Park 1 week. To the guy, the store he took that guy to, he took him to John Dalmalian's, the guy, the drummer from System of a Down. He owns Torpedo Comics, which is weird. I buy stuff from them every time they're at a convention. I had no idea he was the owner, but he's the owner. He owns the second largest comic book store in the world, because not only does he have the storefront, he's also got the traveling store that goes to all the conventions, and he's also got the warehouse where he stores all the rare stuff. And his store, while they only sell comics, they have some pretty cool stuff.
Is Torpedo the one that always has like those big black cases that they carry?
That's Torpedo.
That's a nice setup.
That's the dude from System of a Down. He owns all that.
That's nice.
And I was like, man, I love that guy's thing. His like booth is my favorite thing every time at a con, because he doesn't always have the most up-to-date stuff, but everything's 50% off. So you can get some pretty bitchin' stuff from him for really cheap.
And it's very well stored, because it's not just in your regular old comic boxes. It's not in milk crates. It's basically like band gear.
Well, that's just
it. The hard cases that's converted just, into comic storage.
That's just it. What happened was he got into the band because he didn't want a job out of high school, so he started buying and selling comics in the 90s. And as he accumulated more, he started going to more of the conventions on the West Coast, and then he started moving into Arizona and to like Nevada, Oregon and stuff. He was doing a lot of the West Coast conventions, the big ones, the small ones, the medium ones, and then the band took off, so he focused all his time on the band. But then in 2005, when the band pretty much was kind of winding down and he wasn't playing music as much, he had more time for comics, and then he wanted to get back into the convention circuit, so he was trying to think of the best way to do it. And he actually did say he talked to the guys that built all the gear for their guitars and their amps and all their drums and stuff. And he said, build me some mobile comic book. He's like, I essentially told the guys, I want you to build me a mobile comic book store. I want you to build the thing where I can open it up and it's now one big long wall. And he goes, I want it lit and I want all the shelves to be on an angle so everything sits nice and in alphabetical order. So that's what they did. And yeah, he set that up super bitchin' awesome. And yeah, he has a traveling comic book store that super kicks ass. Every time they're at a convention, I get super excited.
It's pretty neat.
I just wish, I mean, I'm kind of a fan still, so it'd be cool to like be like, dude, let's talk about Venom. He'd be like, I don't like Venom, they suck. I'll be like, all right, let's talk about Batman then. Then he'll take me to school and I'll feel dumb. Because he's like super into it. Like, he knows the stupid industry like crazy style. And he actually had whatever company sponsors him. He had them custom build a comic book drum set that sits in his store. And he also bought an original TIE Fighter from the first Star Wars movie. He bought it from Lucasfilm and had it mounted into the ceiling. So it looks like it's coming out of the ceiling because he had it done on an angle. His store is pretty rad. It looks like, I mean, it's super Walmart-y in that it's like all corporate looking, but it's pretty rad. Like, I'd totally go there if I was in Vegas.
I like it.
Yeah, it's cool. But yeah, comic book shopping is like, I don't know. And then plus that guy, he hosts a video podcast like every day. Jesus. I forget what it's called. It's like 30 minutes a day. they talk about comic books and movie news. Most of the movie news is related to comic books. They'll talk about Gotham. They'll talk about The Flash. They'll talk about Doctor Strange, Marvel, blah, 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 blah. But him and Amy Dallin, the girl that hosted the comic book show on Geek and Sundry, she's on Collider now, and they do their... She's another one. She's, like, super into comics, and she's super... The stuff she knows makes me feel and look super dumb, so, like, she's kind of like a hero of mine now, because she's, like, a super nerd, and she's, like, a big-time super nerd.
Well, just think, if you got paid to do it all day instead of going to your stupid job for 10 hours, that'd be 10 more hours a day you could know stuff about comics.
Well, that was the thing. They said that they still pay for movies and comics mostly out of pocket, but there are YouTube downloads and such, and their podcasts and their other stuffs is how they make their living. And actually, I think Amy Dallin still works at a comic book store in California somewhere. Yeah, and so. John Schlepp, whatever his name is. Keep getting it wrong. He calls everybody "Hey Sweaties," which is pretty funny. He's like, "What's up, Sweaties?" And I'm like, "This guy's cool. Want to hang out with him?" Fucking that's
weird.
He's the guy that did the Slayer comic that came out on Dark Horse recently. Because he always tries to get people to buy it, and they're like, "What's Slayer?" And he's like, "Oh, you don't know fucking Slayer, really? You guys are nerds."
I feel like that's just an avenue you're never gonna win on.
I don't know why you needed a Slayer comic in the first place, but maybe it's cool. I don't know. I love Slayer, but I don't really think a comic book about them is going to be really that awesome.
I doubt it, but what do I know? I haven't read it, so.
Really think the only band that would work would be Iron Maiden. That's because of Eddie. You have a built-in character. You just got to invent the world now. But you have him go around, time travel through history, and fight Alexander the Great and Napoleon. That'd be pretty rad.
Could be.
You think you're going to fall asleep.
I have had a killer headache since I got up at 7 and crawled out of bed at 10, so.
Woo!
Yeah, it's pretty dope.
Big time.
It's awesome being me. Why don't you jump into the number one?
All right. Well, you
picked it.
I did pick it, and it was basically just to say there was a book on Aftershock that I was looking at as well, and I flipped through it, and I'm like, oh, this is nice and thick. And I got through the half of it. I got to the spine, and it says continued next month, and I go, what the fuck? And they're like, check out the preview for blah. And that blah preview was almost as big as the first issue of this comic I was looking at.
So annoying.
And I was like, you know what? Aftershock charges you $3.99 for every single issue. And you get like half a book's worth of comic every time. And I get it. You get the preview too. But I didn't fucking buy the preview. I bought the first issue of whatever the hell this was going to be. And I just, that company's starting to piss me off. Just gonna go ahead and say, I know they're using like the fanciest paper stock and all that stuff, but if I'm buying a $3.99 comic, I don't want two parts of two comics. I want one whole issue of the book I'm buying.
I agree.
So if Aftershock is listening, they're probably not, but if they were, please stop doing that, because I really like some of your stuff, but I haven't been buying it because of that reason. So please refrain from the previews that are 50 pages long. All right, so Retcon is a book essentially about, I guess, government-issued skinwalkers, and the whole concept of skinwalkers is that you can be in a remote location and then take over the body of another person and control their thoughts and actions and so on and so forth, and I guess they do this because there's some, you know, honestly...
Well, it's not they. There's just the one guy that can do it.
I thought there was a woman that can do it, too.
No, that woman was being controlled by the guy that can do it.
Oh. All right, well, it's been a few days. But, yeah, that's kind of the whole gist, is that there's this... You know, honestly, I don't remember a whole lot about this book.
There is an army squadron. I forget their name or their, you know, their title or whatever. But they were formed because they all have special abilities. And they were able to go in, and when the enemy tried to weaponize some kind of a paranormal thing, they would go in and keep that from ever reaching the public, I guess. You know, they would. It's kind of almost like the BPRD kind of thing, except it's retcon in this book. And you have the retired guy who, in this book, is going to AA meetings. And he's blabbing about all this crap, which they don't like. So the guy who can take over other bodies takes over this girl to sit in on the meeting, while they also send this other guy whose ability is, it's almost, I don't want to say it's the Hulk because they make it very clear that it's not, but his body, basically there is some ancient being in his body that adapts to whatever situation he's in to keep him safe. whether that's big giant arms to beat somebody up or, you know, impenetrable skin to whatever. But he always, you know, his body adapts to get out alive, and they send him in to basically wipe out this old guy who's going to the AA meetings, showing pictures and blabbing about all the paranormal stuff in the world. And everyone's like, what? That's not real. But he was like, yeah, dude, like, this guy was on our team. He's retired. He's having a hard time. He's a lonely drunk. You know, let's just try to reel him in. We don't have to fucking kill him. But, of course, the guy who's taking over the girl, he doesn't want to do it that way. And then a fight ensues. I won't give away the whole book, but that's basically the gist of it.
Word.
Does that ring any bells?
Sort of. I mean, to be honest, I had no idea what to expect, because I'm thinking retcon was going to be some kind of meta comic book related comic. So I was like, oh, this could be neat, because I don't want to say I'm sick of sci-fi, but I feel like a lot of sci-fi and horror comics lately are kind of samey, and I feel like there needs to be
did
some
you say
new...
samey?
I did.
That's weird.
I feel like there needs to be some fresh ideas.
I agree.
And to put it into context a bit, I just finished book 2 of AD today, finally, after months of having it, from Scott Snyder and Jeff Lemire, and I'm like, see, this is how science fiction should be done. I mean, granted, these two are, like, the best of the best. But that book is amazing.
I was going to say, I know I'm a little behind on it, but I still think Defender is like...
Descender, yes. Descender is also... I mean, Descender is essentially Jeff Lemire's take on Star Wars, but it's really, really good. And it's consistently really good. And Black Hammer, by extension, is also fucking fantastic.
Unbelievable.
This was not fantastic at all for me. I was really not into this, and the artwork is amazing. It's in the Ben Templesmith vein, which I love, because I love Ben Templesmith's artwork. But again, a few months ago, I read Ben Templesmith's Kickstarter book, The Squitter, and I was like, eh, artwork's amazing. Story's kind of dumb. Feels like a Gears of War book.
Yeah.
I've never read a Gears of War book. Maybe they're great, but this one felt like a knock off of Gears of War, and it wasn't really my thing. There was a comic I read years ago called Skinwalkers, and I remember being like, eh. And when I read this one, I was just like, eh, I'm not into this. Sort of in a weird way with the AA meeting, felt a little Fight Club-y, but that's about like as cool as it got for me.
Oh, you like AA meetings?
No, I just thought maybe this is gonna be like Fight Club, but like with government conspiracies thrown in. I'm like, this could be cool. And then the were thing happened, and the monsters and stuff, and then it got a little not awesome. I just didn't like this. I don't know. I mean, the few new comics I have checked out in the last few months, I don't know what it is. I feel like, creatively, 2017 is a bit of a down year. Except for the people you know you can rely on to put out quality stuff. Like, some of these new creators are coming up with ideas that I don't feel like are really grabbing me. So... this one didn't grab me at all. I kind of didn't really get into it. The artwork is superb. So if you just want to look at pictures, then totally get this.
I don't know. I mean, there's more to it, obviously, than what I've talked about, because, you know, unless I was reading it incorrectly, but the guy whose body adapts to save him, and then the were guy in his human form, are both have all these tattoos that. There's some kind of link there that that they touched on, but they didn't go too into. I wouldn't say I loved it, but I'm not going to go anywhere near saying that I didn't like it either. It feels to me like it's just not my cup of tea. But I mean, for what it wasn't terrible. I liked it. I'm not going to keep going though, unless someone tells me it just got super amazing. But,
Well, to be completely confessional here, I'm shifting back into trade buying at this point, because collecting single issues is just... it's hard to keep all the stories together when you're reading an issue, then you put it down and you read five different issues of something else, and you come back to it a month later and you're like, wait, what happened?
Coming from the guy who reads six different novels at a time.
Not usually like two or three.
Yeah, that's
usually,
ridiculous.
Usually one's a novel, one's a nonfiction, so I can keep those stories together.
I don't know,
for me, I was super excited about the rebootings of the Batmans, and they've been pretty hit or miss, with more miss than hit at times. So to see my favorite character reduced to basically I don't know.
Teacher. Just, depending on the book you're looking
they're
at.
They're just not... I don't know, to me, the Batman books, for the most part, have not been all that great since the Rebirth Initiative started. They're okay at times. Some issues are really good. I'll say this. The detective stories have been pretty lame because they're very much the exact opposite of detective stories. They're basically just big budget action movies with Batman and a bunch of friends and not really that great. And then the Tom King Batman, like one issue will be super good and the next two are just okay. So trades it is for me. So, but yeah, same thing here. I will not be picking up any more of this.
Why don't you pick up a number?
I'm going to give this a 4. I just didn't care for it. The writing didn't do nothing for me. Didn't do anything for me, I'm sorry. And the story wasn't anything that I felt like, oh, maybe the story will kind of move the writing along as it goes on. I was just kind of like, this is not my thing. Not into this. The artwork is cool. Maybe this artist will do something I'll like later on. So maybe I'll try and keep an eye or an ear out for this person. But this is not for me. And pass.
Yeah, like I said, it didn't blow me away, but it's kind of in the BPRD vein or arena, whatever. So if you're into that kind of paranormal government thing, then this might be up your alley. It was decent. I mean, I was probably gonna give it like about a 6.5. Nothing I'm gonna run out and finish unless someone tells me that I need to. But you know, it was all right. I mean, I don't know what else to really say here. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't blow me away, but it wasn't terrible. It was just... It was all right. So, there you have it. A 4 and a 6.5.
You know what else, too? It's looking, artwork-wise, like that book that we reviewed, I want to say beginning of the year, the one on Boom called Turncoat, about the aliens that kind of took over the planet.
I don't remember that at all.
Oh, I remember... I loved it, the first issue. I was like, man, this thing is amazing. I gave it like a 9, and it was a 4-issue series, and by the time the 4th issue came out, and I remember Damien stuck with it as well, both of us were like, yeah, man, that thing really took a turn for the snooze fest. Like, it really got boring in 4 issues, man. That's kind of a thing. So, like, I kind of got a bit of a Turncoat vibe from this. Not, like, thematically, but just kind of like, oh, this is where this is going. I don't know. I like Doom Patrol. I can go with that.
Yeah, yeah.
Doom Patrol's rad. You should read Doom Patrol if you're not anything but with Doom Patrol, as a matter of fact. Grant Morrison's, any old weird stuff. Just read Doom Patrol, and then you'll be happy. And Sandman, and Swamp Thing.
And Black Hammer.
And Black Hammer.
All right, so moving on to... wow. I mean, do we just go jump right into Nice Hole in Your Shirt? So we just jump right into over under?
Digging the pit holes. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever.
Might as well just cut them sleeves off. Sun's out, guns out.
Ugh. Gross.
All right. So, in honor of Retcon, because the one guy in there was a werebear, we're going to just go about the over under as far as of being a were animal of whatever sorts. Here's the thing that I didn't quite understand, because I've always been under the impression that werewolves, were anythings, like, traditionally, they don't pop out unless there's a full moon, and they don't do it, like, at will. But then you watch shows like True Blood, they do it whenever the hell they want. In the book, he obviously did it whenever the hell he wanted.
Underworld.
No, that was a moon thing, I'm pretty sure. Maybe.
I don't know about
that. At times. I don't know. So I was going to kind of reference that and say, well, you know, I mean, being able to only pull it out when you can't control it when there's a full moon is kind of lame.
Somebody just started right there. They'd be like, pull what out?
What? Oh, no one's going to start it. No one's going
to. No one's going to
transform. No one's going to fast forward 25 minutes into the podcast.
You never know.
But yeah, like. So I feel like I can't really use that as anything, but overrated, huh? See, all right, I'm just going to going based off what they did in the book, where it seemed like once the colonel or general, whoever, whatever he was rank wise, whenever he seemed to get very upset, and that's what brought it on. And the guy kept telling him, "You need to calm down. You need to switch back. You need to stay calm." Blah blah blah. So to me, that feels like it's almost like a Hulk thing. It's a rage induced thing. So going on that avenue of being a were whatever, I feel like that would be terrible for me, because I would literally be changing every 20 minutes. If I'm playing a video game and I scream and yell, and I would not, I feel like I would destroy the entire house in a matter of 20 minutes. Driving to work, so many morons on the, like, if it's rage induced, I could never be a were animal, because I would probably never change back to human form.
It's possible.
Playing board games, playing video games, anything. Well, just when I finally do start to have a good day, I'll stub my fucking toe. You know what I mean? Like, I just feel like there's no point. I might as well live in the woods.
Yeah, I agree. My overrated for being a werewolf would be I get tired of buying new pants.
Ooh.
Because if you're like wearing your favorite pair of Dockers, and let's just be honest here, I'm probably on the verge of ripping through my pants anyway. So if fucking I'm out and all of a sudden I turn into a goddamn werewolf and I'm like, God damn it, these were my favorite pants, but I'm a werewolf, so I can't like articulate that at the moment, even though my brain deep down in the nether regions is going, God damn it, these are my favorite Dockers. Like, now they're fucking ripped. But like the werewolf part of me is even like aware of it, going like, ah, I'm so confused, I'm angry, I need to eat something, and my pants are ripped and I can't do anything because I'm a stupid werewolf at the moment. So I just think like my pants budget would, and shirt budget probably too, but the pants budget would just get ridiculously out of control, and I'd be like, you know what, fuck it, I'm just going to walk around naked. Now I'm looking at violations for public nudity. It's a never-ending cycle of legal problems.
But that's going to lead perfectly into my underrated, is you could do whatever the hell you want, whenever the hell you want, because I look at it this way, like, you know, I go to work on Monday, and, you know, it's fucking, you know, the hot shots are in from out of town, and I go in there and it's like, hey, we need to talk about me getting a raise. And they go, well, you know, people in hell want ice water. And then I go, rah! And change. They're going to be like, all right, whatever you want. Just don't kill me.
Here, write a number on this piece of paper.
Right. Then they're like, well, you know what? I can't deal with this. You're fucking fired. And I'm like, rah! And they're like, all right, fuck. Leave me.
All right. 80,000 a year, 2 hours a day.
Yeah.
One day a week.
I'm not an unreasonable werewolf. You know what I mean? Like, I understand you can't give me $1 million a day, but you got to give me more than you're giving. And it goes. That applies everywhere. You know what I mean? Like, you go to the store, and you're like, oh, I really want that board game. And you go to reach for it, and some asshole grabs it out from under you. You're like, I'm buying this shit, son. And be like, rawr! And like, all right, fine, here.
I don't know
here.
If that would ever happen, but that'd be interesting if it did. How would that play out in real life? Minus the werewolf.
No.
Thing.
See, here's the thing. Within the last year, we were at A&F. I was looking. I'm like, oh, my God. This is right when, like, the Mega Man game came out, before everyone realized, or, you know, before all the reviews basically said it was terrible. And I was like, oh, my God, Mega Man! And as I was, like, heading, like, and I wasn't, I was only a few feet away, some other dude was like, yoink, and then he brought it up to the counter and walked up the store with it.
Dope.
And I remember, because I was like, whoa! And he's like, oh, did you want to, he's like, I'm buying it, but I'll let you look at it. I'm like, fair enough. So he actually, you know, he handed it over, and I was able to look at it, but then he fucking grabbed it out of my hands and went and bought it.
That consumer.
You know, and feel like, okay, this, when you had the sweaty McFat guy or whatever at the comic store, or at the Comic-Con, that pushed you out of the way to get into the next long box. Like, if you would have been like, rawr, he would have been like, woo.
Probably. That's true. He did buy the preachers I needed that day.
So, and then, you know what else you don't ever have to deal with? Man, I really would like to go out and get dinner tonight, but I don't have any money, so it looks like I'm cooking ramen. Oh, no, you ain't got to do that. You just go to eat whatever you want and roar out of there.
That's a good point. I didn't think of all that.
I just don't. Okay, so obviously overrated. I wouldn't like the destruction to my house, but underrated, fuck everybody. I'm going to do what I want.
And that's kind of where mine is, but mine's a little more specific. My underrated would be, I would have no more traffic problems going to and or from work, assuming I still work. And this is all predicated on the idea that I can turn into a werewolf at will.
Right.
If somebody, and this seems to be a fucking thing, I don't know if it's like a, I don't know if there's like a secret group that meets and decides what the, where and when to do this, but when people turn into parking lots or onto side streets super slow in front of me.
So,
I want to get out and murder them. And I'm not necessarily advocating for actual murder, but I want to push their car into a fucking swamp. So I think if I could turn into a werewolf, I'd have light speed or some kind of super speed. I'd just start fucking eating people. Like, right out of their cars. I'd stick my werewolf face through the glass, because I'm assuming I'm, like, super, like, steel belted amazing.
Silver bullet's the only thing that can kill you.
Yeah. So I would literally just fucking tear the roof off their car, and I'd start eating motherfuckers. And eventually somebody's going to post it on YouTube, like, this guy does not like it when you turn slow in front of him. Don't do that, because he will eat you. And I will start eating the shit out of everybody.
In essence,
and if they
try
to arrest me, I'll start eating the fucking cops. I'll eat everybody.
In essence, aren't you going to waste more time by stopping to eat everybody that turns slow?
It's not about time management. It's about making a fucking statement. Eventually I figure it'll all pan out. And at this point, I'm kind of talking myself into a ditch here, because I don't know why I'm still working a shitty job in a cubicle if I'm a werewolf who eats people. I'd literally just start eating everybody.
Because you wouldn't have a shitty cubicle.
And then I would have that
meeting.
You'd
have a dope corner office.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, at that point, that's when I have the meeting with the higher-ups going, I want a six-figure salary, and I want it to be a really high one. And they're like, what are you going to do all day? I'm like, I'm going to fucking watch board
games. I'm going to not fucking eat you when you come in.
I'm going to play board games. I'm going to make smoothies. I'm going to drink coffee. And you're not going to bother me for not doing work all day. Where are you going to be? I want the office. I may or may not come every day, but I want the office, and no one's allowed in there if I'm not here. And I'll be like, done. And I'll be like, all right, werewolf it is. Nailed it. And then at that point, I don't have to eat anybody. So I've kind of just destroyed my whole scenario here. Point is, I would fucking eat people, like, all the time. I'd do it just out of boredom, I think, after a while. So, just saying.
Nice. So Brian's underrated is murder.
It's to me, murder is killing somebody with no purpose. If I'm eating somebody, I'm propagating my species in a way by murdering for food. Shut up.
Now here's what I want to know. So if you're a vampire, you can essentially go through the process of turning other people into vampires. How do werewolves become werewolves?
Hump?
I don't know.
It's just straight humping.
Is there a bite thing to werewolves, too? Because I don't...
I don't really get it.
Because, I mean, the first thing you would want to do is get yourself a lady wolf.
Here's the thing. Like, sometimes when people tell me, like, I don't mean people... A lot of the times it's females when they're like, oh, I'm really into werewolves. I'm really into vampires. There's a part of me that goes, what? That's the stupidest thing I ever heard of. And then internally I roll my eyes and then I go, dragons are awesome. And I'm like, oh, wait, I'm an asshole too. Never mind. So it's like I'm rolling my eyes at you for liking a fake thing because it's not the same fake thing that I like that I think is kick-ass.
Yeah, but your fake thing isn't sparkly in the movies with a love triangle.
No, but then there's like cool vampires like Skinner Sweet in American Vampire that looks like Dirty Harry except he eats people and fucking, you know, jumps over ridges and eats Nazis and stuff.
I want to jump over bridges.
That guy's cool. I'm into him.
No.
You know, old school Dracula is pretty funny.
All right. This is kind of a tough one if we're going to do best thing ever now because, you know, obviously we've been gone for so long. A lot of awesome stuff's happened. A lot of shitty stuff's happened. But, geez Louise, I guess we'll just start running down the list right now with the last awesome thing I can think of off the top of my gnoggin. I'm going to go ahead and say that the new Queens of the Stone Age is the best thing ever. And it amazes me that of all the bands out there, and there are a lot of them, I've checked, Queens of the Stone Age has yet to change their sound, change the way they do things, change anything about... I mean, their albums, and I'm not trying to say they all sound the same, because they don't, but they have never put out an album that wasn't just awesome. And they have never completely changed their style, they've never changed their sound. They are just one of the greats, in my opinion, and the new album is just another notch in the belt of proof, I guess.
All right. I'll buy that. Let's see. If I had to pick a best thing ever right now, Let's see. Work has sucked. I'm working a lot of late nights, and I don't
like it. God, it's just like, all right, that's it. Work. Later.
No. And in the past 7 days, I'll say the best thing that I could come up with off the top of my head. I'll have two things. One is last Sunday, I got to play Gloomhaven, which is a game I never expected to get to play, and it's pretty awesome because I don't think it's available at stores. I think you have to order it online only. So I got to play that, and it's a massive, massive, massive campaign tabletop game, which not only made me go, man, this game's cool, but made me go, man, I really want to play Mage Knight, and I really want to play Descent now, like really, really badly. But also, I will also throw out the game Eminent Domain, because we played that on Friday, and the first time we played it, I was like, this game's stupidly boring. I don't like this. But then we played on Friday, and I started to go, oh, there the strategy is. I get it now. I didn't use words correctly just now. There is the strategy. There. Now I fixed it in post. But I was like, man, this game is actually pretty cool. And I think there's a couple of expansions available. I'm like, I think the expansions will make this a better game. And looking at the card art and the theme of the game, even though it's a different style, there's a game that I bought about 2 or 3 years ago called Destination Neptune, which I was super pumped about because it had like that old 50s sci-fi artwork and everything about it looked cool. And it was a game that was science-based, not science fiction-based. And I'm thinking that could be neat because it's not fighting aliens. It's terraforming planets and building like resources on different moons. This is going to be awesome. And the game was super dumb and boring and I hated it. We played it like 3 different times, and every time I'm like, man, this game is literally 90 minutes, and it's 91 minutes too long. So Eminent Domain is kind of like the deck builder version of what Destination Neptune would have been if it was a cool game, which it's not. But Eminent Domain is a pretty rad game, and I think it's pretty affordable, too. I don't think it's a $60. I think it's a $30 type of...
Yeah, it's like $35.
Yeah, so if you... I think it's a few years old, so it's probably fallen off the radar for some, but if you run across it, it's a pretty rad, pretty unique deck builder, because it's like a deck builder civilization builder in space, but it's also got some weird combat elements. I just think if you can complete that series with all the expansions, I think that you'll probably get a pretty decent game experience out of it. So that turned out to be better than I remembered, so...
Eminent. Well, I remember when we first played it, it's really confusing because no matter whose turn it is, the other person does take an action.
And I like games like that because I like that keeps everybody involved.
Yeah. So I think that was a little pain in the assy the first time around. Like, and I know there was a few times, even when we first started playing it the other day, where you weren't paying... not paying attention, but you didn't follow or dissent either. But once you remember that that's what you got to do and you pick up on it, like, I feel like the game almost went too fast. But at the same time, I had a lot of stuff done by the end. So it was, you know, I don't know. I liked it a lot better the second time around.
Yep. And I'm kind of, I don't want to say I'm down on deck builders, but I haven't run across any newer deck builders of late that I'm like, man, this is really good. And I feel like there's not a lot coming out. There's been like a slowdown in the deck builder genre. I feel like the genres that are kind of...
The miniatures are picking up now.
Miniatures are getting real popular right now, and small box games are kind of... And cute games are kind of the thing, which is sort of getting annoying, because I'm noticing more and more of these sensitive, like, flowy games that don't really have a lot of competitive edge to it. And I'm like, I don't know, that doesn't look fun to me. A game about building a flower bed? I don't know. Really?
I don't know, I'd play it.
I'll play anything, but I feel like there's not a good balance of game styles at the moment, but that could just be me. And I know there's a swath of new stuff coming between now and Christmas, so it could be like a tsunami of awesome. Not to say, there's never a shortage of games I want to play. Let's just put it that way. But I just feel like lately, with some of these new game companies, there's this trend towards shorter, simpler games, and I don't like it that much. I want to see more longer and awesomer.
Gossamer.
I just like, I don't know. I like my short games, but I like my long games. I like my complicated games.
Yeah, but there's a time and a place for all of that kind of stuff. But anywho, I think that's going to wrap it up. So thanks for listening. And you can find me on Twitter at XhorseNX. You can find Brian at Pure Rock Fury. You can find all of our older podcasts, plus our You May or May Not Like It's, and all of our interviews and movie roasts and all the other shows that we've done at comicroast.com. And you can check out all of our written reviews at reviewandroast.com. You can buy movie tickets there, and there's a link there for our Patreon if you want to pop on in and support us. We have, you know, cheap levels, $1, $3, $5, and that's about it. There's not really much on there yet, but in the next day, two or three, our very first exclusive podcast will be up there, and that's going to be on the first five seasons of Overwatch. So, if you want to hear that, you're going to have to come over there and support us. So, until next week, have a good one.